Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on great doctrines of the Bible. Today we'll be looking at the doctrine of faith, the doctrine of faith. But before we begin today, as always, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to come to thee, Lord, to come before thee, to open up thy holy word. Father, I pray that you'd enlighten our eyes of understanding, Lord. Help us to see the things that we need to see out of thy word. Teach us, Father. And Father, help us to learn today and take what we today and apply it practically to our lives, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon each and every one of us. And Father, I pray you'd bless the listener today. Encourage the saints of God. If there be someone out there that's not saved, never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, we pray this would be their very day, that they'd fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive Jesus Christ is to receive life eternal itself. We ask all these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Now let's begin in Hebrews chapter 11 as we look at the great Bible doctrine, the great doctrine of faith today. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and Hebrews 11. And it's often called the chapter of the heroes of the faith, or the roll call of the heroes of faith. But let's begin in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is fundamental to Christian doctrine and conduct. It is the one thing which above all others Christ recognized as the paramount virtue. We look at the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 8. She certainly displayed the virtue of humility. And then we see the blind man in Mark chapter 10. He displayed earnestness. But what Jesus saw and rewarded in each of these cases was faith. In fact, faith is the foundation of Peter's spiritual temple and the first in Paul's trinity of graces. In faith, all other graces find their source. Turn with me to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter with me, and we want to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and we'll look at verses 5 through 7. It's very important that you have your Bible as you listen to me and as we go through the Word of God. And of course, you need the words of God, the King James Bible. But we said that faith is the foundation of Peter's spiritual temple. Look at what Peter said, the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, so he begins with faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. But we see here that the foundation of all these things is faith. We also said about faith, faith is first in Paul's trinity of graces. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth, here it is, faith. Faith is the first one that's mentioned by Paul. Faith, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. But we see then that faith is the first one mentioned in Paul's trinity of graces here. Now, we want to look at the definition of faith. Now, faith is used in a general and a particular sense. So, first of all, we want to look at the general meaning of faith. And within that, there are three elements to the general meaning of faith. The first one is knowledge. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 10, the Word of God says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we read, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is not believing without evidence. On the contrary, faith rests upon the best evidence, namely the Word of God. An act of faith denotes a manifestation of intelligence. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? You see, a man may believe with his head without believing with his heart, but he cannot believe with his heart without believing with his head too. The second element to the general definition of faith is assent. There must not only be knowledge that Jesus is able to save, that he is the Savior of the world, there must also be an assent of the heart to these claims. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 with me. In Mark chapter 12, let's begin reading in verses 32 and down to 34. And the scribe said unto him, talking to Jesus, the scribe said unto Jesus, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, see there's the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. So not only must there be knowledge, but there must be also an assent of the heart to these claims. Now the third element to the general definition of faith is appropriation. There must be an appropriation of the things which we know and an asset to concerning the Christ in his work. So not only, in other words, you have the knowledge about it, and you believe it, but then you have to receive it. You have to appropriate it. Intelligent perception is not faith. You see, knowledge affirms the reality of these things. but neither accepts nor rejects them, nor is asset to faith. There is an asset of the mind which does not mean a surrender of the heart and affections. See, faith is the consent of the will, amen, to the asset of the understanding. Let's look at some verses together as we discuss this third element in the general definition of faith: appropriation. Appropriation is you have to receive it, amen. You have to surrender to your heart, amen. Looking in the Gospel of John with me, John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. We read, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, received, appropriate, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See that? You have to receive. Amen. You have to receive. All right? You have to receive what you know, what you believe. In your heart, you have to receive it. Amen. Looking in John chapter 2, verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. See? He did not commit himself. Why? Because he knew all men. He knew that they didn't believe him. And then in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verses 30 to 32, we said faith is the consent of the will to the assent of the understanding. We read in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. And there we have the extent, here we have Jesus giving an example of faith is the consent of the will to the assent of the understanding. Amen. You believe me, amen, then you're going to continue in my word, amen. You're going to do my will, in other words, Jesus says. Now, so we've looked at the three elements of the general definition of faith, amen. We saw first knowledge, then assent, and then thirdly appropriation. Now, let's look at the meaning of faith together in particular. First of all, when used in connection with the name of God, there can be no dealings with the invisible God unless there is absolute faith in his existence. Amen. In other words, we must believe in his reality even though he is unseen. Faith believes all that God says as being absolutely true, even though circumstances seem to be against its fulfillment. Now, let's look at some verses of Scripture together that build upon this. First, in Hebrews chapter 11. We've got to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 6, but without faith, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you and I cannot please God without faith. When we come to God, we must believe that he exists. And we're promised if we do that, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? So let's look at Acts chapter 27. It's talking about the Apostle Paul. And we see that Paul was on the ship going to Rome, and there was a bad storm, and everybody was feared of losing their life. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Remember we said, faith believes all that God says as being absolutely true, even though the circumstances seem to be against its fulfillment. Here we have a case in point with Paul. Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 22 together. And Paul says, he's speaking to the crew of the ship and the people on board, he says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." So Paul is telling them, even though circumstances may say otherwise, it looks like they're going to lose their lives, he says, there's no life going to be lost, we'll lose the ship. And he goes on in verse 23. And the reason he said this, the reason he could say this to the crew, for in verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. And this is what he said to Paul, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar." See, he said, you've got to go before Caesar. Amen. So you and the crew are not going to lose your life. "And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." So Jesus is telling, when he appeared to Paul and talked to Paul there, that there was going to be no loss of life. Verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I," here it is, "believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." See, Paul had faith. He believed everything that the Lord had said to him about, even though the storm was raging and it looked like the ship and the whole crew was going down, that there would be no loss of life. The faith is, he heard what Jesus said. Not only did he hear it, but he believed that what Jesus said was absolutely true, even though outward circumstances didn't seem that way. Amen. Didn't seem like it was possible. Let's look at another case in point about someone who believed what God said was absolutely true, and we have a good example of that of Abraham. Abraham. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4 with me. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 19. Now, in the context, it's speaking about Abraham. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Now again, I go back and I said that faith believes all that God says is absolutely true, even though circumstances seem to be against its fulfillment. So here we have the situation. Both Abraham and his wife Sarah are beyond the years of childbearing. So the circumstances would say, this is not possible. This cannot be fulfilled. You, Abraham, and your wife having a child. Amen. But he believed God. Abraham believed God. That's what we just read. He didn't even stagger at it. He didn't even question what God said. He believed exactly what God said would happen. See, that's faith. Amen. That's faith. Believing what God says. Amen. Is absolutely true. See, that's what the problem with a lot of Christians are today, is it not? They read the Word of God. They read the promises of God. They have the knowledge. But they don't, they say, oh, well, that's not possible. You know, I don't believe God's promise. See, again, we read, we have a lot of faithless Christians. And again, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. See? Again, let's look at Abraham in Genesis this time, chapter 15. I want you to see this point. Again, faith believes. Even though we can't see God, amen, we must believe in his reality. And faith believes all that God says as being absolutely true, even though circumstances seem to be against its fulfillment. I mean, I believe if you think about it, that God has accomplished some things in your life. Amen. Has he not? Even though circumstances seem to go against its fulfillment. Amen. Romans chapter 4. Excuse me. We're not in Romans. We're in Genesis. I got to go back to Genesis chapter 15. So let's go back to Genesis 15. Again, we want to look at Abraham. Abraham. Genesis 15, verses 4 through 6. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And of course, what God was saying was this, that Abraham said to God, you know, I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. You know, and as a result of having no child, he would be the heir to Abraham's things. But God says, no, this man will not be your heir. I'm going to bring forth an heir out of your own bowels. And he brought him forth abroad. And he said, look now. Here's God, takes Abraham. He says, come with me. And he says, look now toward the heaven. Abraham, look up, he says. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He's saying, look up. Look up. Can you number the stars? No, you couldn't. Well, this is the number of your seed that's going to come from your ear. Now notice verse 6. And he, referring to Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The circumstances would say, that's ridiculous. Here is an old man. His wife is old. they have no heirs. He has no heir of his own from his own bowels. They haven't produced any children. Well, God says, I'm going to give you an heir of your own bowels. And you know what? Not only that, not only am I going to give you a son, but look up. The number that's going to come from him is going to be more than the stars in the heaven. You know, the flesh would say, the world would say, that's impossible. The circumstances are against that fulfillment. Both you and your wife are old, beyond childbearing age. But what does it say about Abraham? He believed in the Lord. He believed, amen, everything that the Lord had said to him. He believed that he would have his own son, and that the seed from that son would be beyond number. See, again, as we're looking and describing the meaning and faith in particular, and we're looking under the first point, when used in connection with the name of God, there can be no dealings with the invisible God unless there is absolute faith in his existence. And we must believe in his reality, and even though he is unseen. So first you have to believe in God. Believe in his reality, even though you can't see him, number one. And then number two, faith believes all that God is saying is being absolutely true, even though circumstances seem to be against its fulfillment. Amen? Just think about this for a minute. Think about what God says in reference to salvation. If you're out there and you're not saved, you don't know 100% sure that when you die you'd go to heaven, then you're not saved. You're going to die and go to hell. But the Word of God says, in regard to salvation, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Word of God says. You know, religion says there's something that you by yourself have to do to earn your way to heaven. Now, the choice is either you believe what the world says or you believe what the Word of God says. If you believe and you have faith in what God says, everything that God says is absolutely true, then your action will be to do exactly what the Word of God says to do to be saved, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? See, that's what Paul did. Circumstances said he and the rest of the crew were going down with the ship. But Jesus came to him and said, no, Paul, you're not going down. You're going to lose the ship. Amen, but no loss of life. And because he believed, he had faith in what God said was absolutely true, he could encourage his other shipmates, amen. Same way with Abraham. Even though he and Sarah were beyond childbearing age, God said, I'm going to give you a son. You know, circumstances says that's ridiculous, that's crazy. But Abraham believed him. Anyway, well, we have some more things to talk about this great Bible doctrine of faith. We'll do that next time on the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.